He was president of the club for
at least 2 terms. He lives out at Low Norway now, Mrs. Hobson was the person whose family had Low Norway, so they live out there. And there were all these young people who are either who have either gone or who are full professors now, who lived there before they became full professors in the English department. There was Alvin Whitley, who is still here, and Bob Presson, John Ink. Edgar Lacey. They lived at the club. Some of them lived at the club many years before they were either married or they went into apartments or moved on.
Often faculty now don't stay at the university as many years as
no.
They once did. It seems to me.
Mm-hmm. But then we've had, I think I mentioned it in one article that I was talking about. John Granowski lived there, who went on to be Postmaster General, wasn't he, at one time? Mm-hmm. And, Walter Heller, who was economics advisor to Lyndon Johnson. And young man who waited on tables at our club was Chris Dix, who has been a plastic surgeon in Milwaukee. Many years ago, we had a lot of law students and medical students living at the club. But in the later years, we didn't have as many. We had more people from English department and law school, I guess, living right now. There's so many people who have lived there in the past and you just wonder where they are, but I know that a lot of them have gone by now. I'm sure they've gone on to make names for themselves. After all, being at the University of Wisconsin helps an awful lot. Mm,
yes, I guess so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one other sort of final question in my mind. You talked about some of the problems and everything. Did you have anything you could qualify as a crisis, or were there crises at times?
Well, we had 3 or 4 suicides, which I think was a crisis.
Oh, yes.
There was a doctor who sliced his wrists over Labor Day one time, and we didn't find, because at that time there was no one there on the holiday. And his body was in the room for 3 days. We came to work and we had this very bad odor.
Mm.
Was permeating through the building. And we didn't know what it was, and we went around to see if we could figure out early in the morning, and we thought probably it was a dead animal somewhere. We had a black maid, and that was her room.
What was he doing in her room?
Well, that was one of the rooms that she had.
Oh.
She kept. She opened the door and found him dead.
Huh.
She ran out of the hall just screaming, so we knew what had happened there. And I had a young graduate student who was getting a degree. And I think he was having a lot of emotional problems because somebody in, whether it was a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but I think it was a doctor, or maybe it was a professor from his department who called me and wanted to know if I could keep an eye on him that weekend, because he was in a very bad state and they were so afraid that he would take his life. And I said, well, this is rather difficult for me to do because I can't be here at the clock around for over the weekend, but we'll do the best we can, see if we could keep an eye on him. But he was all right. He came out of that very nicely. But a week later, he had a friend in town who didn't live at the club who had committed suicide. And then he kept on with his school studies. And for about a year and a half, and we found him dead in bed one morning.
Mm.
And it was the day that his official notice had come that he had gotten a Fulbright scholarship.
Mm.
But they think that, his friends think he knew that it was going to come. But he couldn't take it any longer. And we've had a number of graduate students who have found it very difficult to get through when they're studying for a higher degree, master's and especially a doctor's. That dropped out of school. One of them drove a truck for 2 or 3 years before he came back
mm-hmm.
to school. And we've had a number of emotional students who've had problems. One of them used to cover his doorknob outside with some kind of a dust so that if anybody tried to open his door, he would know that somebody had been in there. And he threatened, he told the maid that he was going down with an iron rod. Was going to use it on me one time.
Mm. Ouch.
And, he was having many problems that way because a professor called me one time and told me to stay out of his way because he was obsessed because he wanted a certain room in the club and somebody else was living there and he couldn't have it. And so he said, I want you to stay out of his way, not get close to him, or not be around him if you're alone. I think that's one of the hardest things some of these young men have had to do, trying to get degrees, and it's just been so difficult for them. We've had a lot of people who have been very, very badly upset with either noise from the club, from people living next door, or from these banging radiators.
Oh, you've had those?
We had one young man who was there who wrote me a letter and had made marks 1, 2, 3, 4, 5- how many times the radiator clanged on the night. I think there were 102.
Oh, great.
And the people next door would complain because he kept banging his head on the wall all the time, bothering them because he was just so restless all the time. And I hope he's better now.
So do I.
But there weren't too many problems that one couldn't handle. I asked one person to leave because he just didn't seem to fit in. He was complaining to all the people all the time, and he just didn't seem to fit in with the kind of people we had living there. And he understood it, though, because when I wrote him a letter and told him that we had had so many complaints of loud music and not being able to put up with him, many things like that, why he left. We didn't have any trouble because we evicted him. We didn't have any contracts signed for rooms. Hmm. They came in for a semester. They stayed for a semester. But I ran under the assumption that if they weren't happy there and weren't going to cause any problems, they might as well be out if they wanted to be, rather than have to live up to a contract and have it. We had very few people who wanted to leave, but we asked them to give a month's notice.
Do they have to make a deposit when they moved in?
No, no, no deposit. But all in all, I think we had a very high grade of people living there all the time. Someone came in to apply for a room, and I found out something about him. I asked him a lot of questions, I guess. But if I thought he was a person who would not be happy living with people or sharing bathrooms, I put him on a waiting list. I never got into trouble either.
That's good.
Because I wasn't discriminating on their color or anything like that, mm-hmm. or their wealth.
Well, I've sort of run out of questions. If you have anything more that we should go over?
My head is just going round and round, and I can't think of anything right now that I could say.
All right. Well, thank you very much for taking this time.
It's brought back a lot of memories.